The reading today is taken from John chapter 4, verses 15 to 26, and it can be found on page 1067, I believe, of the Church Bible. Last week we saw Jesus say to the woman by the well that he offers water that quenches thirst once and for all. So today we take up John's account, John chapter 4, starting at verse 15. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, I wonder if I can start with a question. What is the best news you have ever heard? You know, the news that got you out of bed in the morning, the news that you couldn't wait to share. What was that news? Was it the promotion at work, the mortgage approval, the engagement, or the news of a pregnancy? Was it the weekend's football results, or that it's only 5 weeks until the next half term? What was the best news you have ever heard? Well, we're picking up it in John 4, where we left off last week. Jesus has been speaking with a woman, and all we know about her so far is that she's a Samaritan. She's someone identified solely by her place amongst the enemies of God's people. And while Jesus started by asking her for a drink, we soon worked out that she's the one who needs what he has to offer. This living water he started to speak about. And so we pick up at verse 15 today, and we see that her interest has been sparked. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming back here to draw it." She's met Jesus. I guess she's intrigued by him. But I think the big question going on in the background is had she really understood him yet? Because there's a big difference between meeting Jesus and discovering who he really is. Yeah, we can know something about him. He can seem like a nice guy. We can even ask him for things. And yet, like this woman, we can do all of that without fully getting hold of who he is. So here's a woman who's on the right path, but she's not there yet. She's latched onto something, but she's not got it fully yet. Richard Griffin used to be one of the Queen's Royal Protection Officers. In 2016, he was interviewed and talked about his time looking after one of the most famous women in the world. And he revealed that every now and again, the Queen likes to slip out of the palace and to have a walk around the grounds of Balmoral, just under the radar. And so one day, that's exactly what she did. She put on some normal clothes, she put on a headscarf, and went out for a wander. And while she was out and about, a group of American tourists came up to her and asked if she could help them with some local information. Now, she was fairly keen not to blow her cover, so she just played along. Do you live round here? One of them asked. The Queen replies, well, I do have a house quite close, actually. One of them even asked if she'd met the Queen, to which she kind of just simply gestured at the guys with her and went, no, I haven't, but he has. You know, that group of tourists completely failed to realise who they were talking to. They'd met the Queen. They'd met this woman, but they'd not really discovered who she was. Because if they had, they'd be asking for much more than just directions. Now, of course, Jesus is slightly different because he's actively gone to this woman. He's gone to show him who he is. But I guess the problem can be the same. And John wants us to see that it's possible for us to meet Jesus and yet not really discover who he is. Now, I guess the same can be true of us today. We can come to church services and activities and clubs. We can hear lots about him and yet still fail to really get hold of who he is. If you think about it, almost like a Facebook friend. You know, we can kind of add Jesus. You know, we're connected to him in some way, but there's nothing personal about it. It's just another name on a list. And so if you're not sure whether you've just met Jesus or really discovered him, then I think there's a really easy way to find out. Do you think that Jesus is the best news in the world? If you don't, if there's something better, something more important, then just like this woman, I think Jesus wants us to dig a bit deeper to find out who he really is. And I think that explains a little bit about what he does in our next section as we look at verses 16 to 18. To help her get a grip on who he is, he makes it really personal, connecting an offer that seems out of this world with something very much of this world. Because before we can think of kind of living water as just kind of a bit wishy-washy, Jesus shows us how practically it applies. Have a look down at those verses with me. Verses 16. Jesus says, go and call your husband. And she replies, well, I have no husband. Well, you're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, Jesus says, you've had five husbands and the man you now have is not your husband. What you've said is quite true. I guess he's got her attention by highlighting the problem right in front of her. She wants water. And yet he uses that to connect with her deeper thirst. One conversation opening up a much more significant one. Okay, we're not told why she's had five husbands. The text just doesn't give us the details. And so we need to be a little careful about how we think about her. I guess we thought about this before, but there's no mention here of her being a prostitute. If anything, the opposite seems to be the case. In a culture where husbands could just abandon their wives at the drop of a hat, she seems to have been dropped a number of times. Here's a woman used and abused, divorced and abandoned again and again and again. And even now she's living with a man who won't bother to marry her. Here's a woman who's a total outcast, a total outsider, and yet, as well as being a victim, she's very clearly a sinner. And Jesus' words seem to cut through like a hot knife through butter. In such short lines, Jesus reveals her deeper thirst. Here's a woman desperately looking for satisfaction. But looking for it, as we saw with Andy last week, it's in relationships. Passed from one man to another, so thirsty for love that she'll even accept abuse as part of the deal. And as Jesus speaks to her, he reveals a side of her life she's been working so hard to just keep quiet. And standing before someone with this knowledge, it's, how's it going to make you feel? It's likely to leave everybody feeling slightly uncomfortable, because if Jesus knows this about her, what else does he know? And yet here's a Jesus who isn't speaking to shame or break her. He's not trying to rub salt in the wound, but he's trying to get her to move beyond just meeting him to discover what he's really come to offer. And let's just pause there for a moment, if we can. Because while we're just catching up on the details of who this woman is, Jesus has already offered her salvation. The offer's already held out to her. He says he wants people just like her in his kingdom. He wants people just like her to discover why he is the best news in the world. He knows all about her life already, and yet he's gone out of his way to find her. Is that the kind of Jesus you know? I guess it might be that you're here and you kind of connect with this woman immediately. Just like her, you've chased relationships and you know the pain of being broken by them. Or I guess for some of us, it might not be so visible. It might be we've placed our hopes in popularity or possessions or power. We might look just fine on the surface, but dig a little bit deeper and we're clinging to our families, our wallets, our place in the community, just like this woman would cling to these men. I guess alternatives to Jesus might seem fine. They might look like they satisfy. They might even feel like they satisfy. But just like this woman, Jesus wants to show that they won't. And so he calls us to him instead. And so let me ask that again. Is this the kind of Jesus you know? Because if this is the Jesus we follow, then shouldn't we expect our churches to be full of people like this woman? Shouldn't the church be a place full of people who know that they can come here when they feel broken? Shouldn't St. Thomas's be known as the place people can come when it feels like life just throws mud at them? Because the Jesus this woman's discovering isn't disengaged from real life, but is right there in the heart of it. He doesn't duck the big issues. It would have been loads easier for Jesus to just talk about the weather. But instead he gets personal, and Jesus is such good news precisely because he does get personal. He engages at a level that no one else can or will. And yet he does so with such gentleness. As we as a church, we want people to discover a Jesus just like this. I guess it's one of the reasons we've got some of those little booklets at the back, little booklets that connect Jesus with things that are huge and that so often we don't talk about. The things we find it difficult to talk about. Anger, miscarriage, infertility, suffering, doubt, abuse. This is a Jesus who engages with people at that level. This woman is just starting to discover a Jesus who doesn't come to those who've got it all sorted. He doesn't pick those who just bounce up themselves, but he comes to people like me. And people like you. And he wants us to discover him. It's at the very place of this woman's need that Jesus meets her. He wants her to discover what he really has to offer. And so, do you see why Jesus is the best news in her world? Do you want to see why he's the best news in our world? So having said all that, I love verse 19. Yet Jesus has just laid this woman's life bare, and yet the more he reveals about her, the more she wants to know about him, the more she begins to see who he is. And so the conversation shifts over to worship. You know, she's not there yet. But if Jesus knows so much about her, then she wants to know if he can help with one of the biggest debates between the Jews and Samaritans of that time. One of the most controversial topics. Here's how verse 20 goes. We worship here at this temple, and yet you Jews worship at that temple in Jerusalem. Who's got it right, Jesus? You know, can we discover God through this temple or that one? Can we get right with him through this way or that way? I wonder, have you ever heard the story about the six blind men and the elephant? You know, six blind men come across an elephant and they try to agree on what the elephant's like. And so one is patting down the elephant's side and he went, ah, an elephant is so smooth. It's just like a wall. But the second man's holding onto the elephant's trunk. He's like, no, I mean, the elephant's like a snake. A third man, well, he touches the elephant's tusk. He says, are you crazy? An elephant's not like a snake, it's like a spear. Well, a fourth man goes on, he's got the elephant's leg. Nonsense. You know, an elephant's like a tree. Fourth man, he's got the ear. No, an elephant's not like a tree, it's like a big fan. Sixth man, you've got the idea, he's touching the tail. Are you mad? An elephant's just like a piece of rope. So the argument begins, each fighting over who had the right way of discovering what the elephant was really like. And I guess here, kind of, the woman's a little bit like that. She's stuck trying to work out who God is and who's got it right. Can we get to him through this temple or that one? Do we call him God or Allah or Vishnu or something else? And do you see how Jesus replies, verse 21? He shows that true worship doesn't depend on the place it's offered in, but what's going on in our hearts. Soon, he says, there'll be no need for a physical temple to access God, because verse 23, a time is coming and has now come when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. They are the kind of worshippers that the Father seeks. I guess the bad news for this woman is that the Samaritan place of worship was illegitimate. The shock is that the Jewish place is about to be outdated too. The wonder is what Jesus proclaims instead. Here's a worship not defined by Jews or Samaritans. Worship is not identified by where they come from, but the God they're focused on. And he wants this woman to be part of it. I've been really wrestling with these verses over the past week or so, trying to get my head around how they really connect with us today. Let me give you two ways. Firstly, I think these verses rule out the idea that we can just worship God however we like. That it doesn't matter by what name we call him or whether we ignore some of his commands. I think this passage kind of closes the door on that. Because God tells us how we can discover him and how we should respond to that, how we should worship him. If you go into Meadowhall, I think it's on the upper tier, you'll walk down, you come across one of the Build-A-Bear shops. Have you ever been to one of those? You're not missing out on a huge deal, so don't worry about it that much. But the idea is that you can go in and you can pick and choose all the parts you want to make the perfect teddy bear. You pick the color you like, you pick the features you want. It's a bear that's made just for you. And just like every good illustration, that is exactly what God is not like. We don't worship a God we just kind of make in our image. We don't come to one who conforms to our standards, who we can just put down and pick up whenever we want, that we grow out of. You know, Jesus says that worship isn't just some sort of personal meditation. It's not a warm glow, but it's something done in spirit and truth. And so responding to God should be done in the way he says. We're not free to make it up. I guess secondly, these verses make such a huge difference to us because, well, they point us forward to the cross. Now, we can have living water because at the cross, what will Jesus do? He'll thirst. From his side will flow blood and water that mean death for him and life for us. The salvation he offers is incredibly free because it's incredibly costly. And when this woman turns her question to the temple, she's picking up on a theme John's already mentioned back in chapter 2. And as she points to her left and to her right, saying, which one is the way to God? He points to himself. The time that's coming in verse 23 is the time when Jesus will become our point of access to God. You know, worship not restricted to a temple here or there, but based around the temple of his crucified and resurrected body. His worship is not about geography, but about truth. And we come to him knowing that the work's already been done. See why Jesus is the best news in the world? And so this woman's almost there, isn't she? Verse 25. But there's one final barrier to overcome. She's met Jesus, but she's still not fully discovered him. So have a look down with me there. This woman said, I know that the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he'll explain everything. Yeah, it sounds really humble, doesn't it? But here's kind of what she's saying. She said, all right, Jesus, just hold on a second. Let's just take a step back for a moment. Neither of us knows the full truth, do we? So let's just sit back and wait it out. Let's give us a bit more time to think about things. Maybe you need to be a little bit older. There's a certain irony here, isn't it, about this Samaritan woman explaining her expectations of the Messiah to the Messiah. And yet I wonder if we can just do exactly the same today. How often do we kind of hear the excuse of, I need a bit more time to think about things. I want to wait until I'm older. I want to find out some more. When Jesus is before our eyes calling us to discover who he really is. Here's the words of one pastor from the States. He says, it's never humble to be hesitant when God has been clear. It's never humble to be hesitant where God has been clear. When this woman says she's waiting for the promised Messiah to show up, the Messiah she's been waiting, hoping, longing for, what does Jesus do? He says he's standing before her very eyes. I who speak to you am he. Think back to the American tourist. It's like the queen whipping off the headscarf and you see the crown underneath. Here stands one who's God himself, inviting rejected Samaritans back into his covenant. Jesus has made his claim to be Messiah so clear, and all this woman needs to do is respond. At the end of our service, there's going to be some words of a song that come up on our screen, but let me read a few of those lyrics to you. Some say, don't give up, and hope that your good is good enough. Head down, keep on working. If you can earn it, you deserve it. After all, it's the least you can do. Just push on through. But don't buy what they're selling. It couldn't be further from the truth. What if I were to tell you that the fight's already been won? Well, I think your day's about to get better. What if I were to tell you that the work's already been done? It's not good news. It's the best news ever. Some say don't ask for help. God helps the ones who help themselves. Press on, get it right, otherwise get left behind. Some say he's keeping score, so try hard and then lean on God. Hold up, if this weren't true, explain to me what the cross is for. What if I were to tell you that the fight's already been won? Well, I think your day's about to get better. What if I were to tell you that the work's already been done? It's not good news. It's the best news ever. As we close, let me leave you with a question. Jesus says that he is the best news in the world for this woman, and he longs for her to move beyond just meeting him to discovering who he really is. Have we discovered that Jesus? Have you discovered that Jesus? Are you convinced that he is the best news in the world? Are we going to be a church who loves to share that with people, inviting people like this woman in here to find out and discover that Jesus is the best news in their world? Let me pray. Father, it's so challenging to read this passage and see how personal you connect things, and yet how wonderful that you long for us to go beyond just meeting you to discover who you really are. That you would come to people like this woman, to people like us. You talk about the things that we often try to hide, and yet you offer us such kindness. Would we discover who you really are, the one who can bring us back to God, the one that offers us eternal satisfaction? today would we discover again that you really are the best news in the world. Amen.